The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We're talking about lives that are rescued, and we've used a lot of different illustrations each week in this little particular mini-segment of the overall series of life. Today is we're talking about life restored, about Jesus, heaven, hell, and home. And our testimony today will be from Charles Dawson in just a minute, and I'll get him up here. But let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And this is the New International Version. The underlining is mine because I wanted to highlight something for you. It said, who, speaking about Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Let's pray. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we come to you. And Lord, I pray that the things that I've studied and been praying about and prepared, that the message that you want to bring to us, the church, and those who are watching over the internet and those who will be listening later, that this message would ring true to their hearts and that it will encourage them about the work that Jesus did when he left heaven to come to earth for us. Father, give me clarity of speech and of remembrance. Anything that I've prepared that is not of you, let it just disappear from my notes. Let it be removed from my mind so that the only thing that I'll say today will be what you once said. I ask you to open the ears and the hearts and the minds and the spirit of everyone who hears these words, that they will be blessed and built up on their most holy faith. And Father, this is our prayer this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. In the very same manner as the book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible, begins and it announced God, it said, in the beginning, God. In the very beginning, God. So Paul announced Jesus when he said, who being in very nature God, to absolutely define Jesus, the child born of Mary, as being God himself. Now, one of the reasons I underline this, because some of the translations, the way it's translated can be a little confusing. It says that being in the form of God, he wasn't in the form of God, and this is a much better translation, being in very nature God. He was God. That was his nature. That was his DNA. That's who he was. God himself. He did not consider equality of being equal with God or of co-equal with God. He was 100% God. Okay? He didn't consider that something to be used to his own advantage. Some translations said to be grasp or to held on to. But he didn't keep his position as God as something to hold on to, but there was a reason that he was willing to put it down. He made himself nothing. Some translation says that he emptied himself. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to death on the cross. God is not a disembodied vapor, but he is a being with a form. Okay? He can be seen by angels and men. He's not just some abstract thought. He's not just some higher being or some higher thought. He is actually an entity, if I can use that word, that has substance. There is a substance to God that is visible. And one day you'll see him and know him even as he knows you. He left his essence, his form of God behind, and he took upon himself the form of a man. Now, theologians have pondered that for ages, and nobody's figured it out yet. You know, you don't have to understand electricity to use it. You don't have to understand the combustion engine in order to use it. You don't have to understand how your eyes work to see. You don't have to understand how your heart works to be alive, for it to be. It is. That's why I started off by saying, the scriptures say, in the beginning, God, there is no explanation of God, only that he is. And whatever he is, he left that form behind and showed up as a child in a place called Bethlehem and ended up on a cross and ended up in a grave and ended up raised to new life out of that grave. It is the greatest story ever told. The greatest story ever told, that God himself came to earth. And I'm going to explain to you as we go through the sermon this morning why he came and what he did and why he left heaven, why he came to this place, and what happened and how that has a great impact on you. But before we go into that, I've asked Brother Charles Dawson to come and to share his testimony. Charles has done like many of you have done. He showed up at our doorstep one day and he decided to make himself at home. And he's part of the family. And everybody here knows Charles. He's a big, boisterous personality in Christ. He loves the Lord. And I'm anxious to hear his story. So God bless you, Brother Charles. You know how to use that mic? Just hold it like it was an ice cream cone and get it up close.
Morning, Saints. It's a pleasure being here. And it's a pleasure being around. But in my walk, it's been difficulty. My name is Charles Dawson, and I was born in New Orleans, Charity Hospital, 1954. In the Desire Project, over 21 years. 8 siblings, 3 sisters, 5 brothers. All took 4 of them home and left 4 of us here. And in my walk, as coming up as a child, as far as I can remember, 6, 7 years old, in the project, God bless her soul, they had evangelists. Came up in the neighborhood, Sister Garrett. And she talked about God to us daily. Sun up, sun down. Bless all. Not knowing. She was evangelizing, speaking life to me. Not knowing what God had for me. But you kept telling us about Jesus. 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 you know, we have ups and downs. And as time passed, we had another evangelist coming through the hood, through the project. And this particular lady, God bless her soul. I can't remember her name, but I do remember the things she taught me and shared with me. She had me to, she would come in the project and come to our house first to get me. To get me to go and round up all the children for Bible study. This was every Saturday. Not knowing. For a time like this. And as time went on, trials and tribulations. Got married. First of all, I went to high school. George Washington called. Finished the 12th grade, praise God. Did a year of college, wanted to be a businessman. Wanted to be a businessman, huh? God allowed me to have my business. I did landscaping. And along my walk, I tripped up, fell down, tore up from the floor, like some of us. Not knowing. I left my first love, but not knowing. I left my first love. All was prospering us. Got married, two children. Along my walk, you know how we get that stinky thinking. I was doing. Wasn't doing nothing, but that's the way I took it and looked at it. So I was married 19 years. God bless her with a home, two beautiful children. On that road, tripping and dipping, falling down, getting up, constantly falling down. Wife got fed up, so she walked out. Being the man that I thought I was at that time, when she walked out, I opened the door. Lord, have mercy. Yeah, that's what I did. I opened the door, but not knowing, I'm in that house. By myself, losing my cotton picking mind, knowing they ain't there, but thinking they there, or he must coming back. She kept on trucking, still trucking. In the meantime, in my walk, tripping, dipping, I went to a ministry. And you know how the pastor called, the altar call for everybody to come down. Stand in the middle aisle. This was 1985. I never forget it. I never forget it in my life. When the pastor made that altar call, I stood in the middle of that aisle with a whole bunch of people. But glory be to God. Like lightning had hit me on top of my head. What it felt like. And I never was the same. Not knowing. I had to still do some tripping and dipping. But he improved something into me that's still in me. Yeah, I'm loud, but my loud is for Christ. My praise and my worship is for Christ. And I'm not ashamed of it. He improved that in me. Back tripping and dipping. I had to get incarcerated to have a visitation from the Holy Spirit in jail. In jail. I'll never forget that one. Like I was sleeping, came up in a trance. Might have been something similar to Paul and Barnabas. Maybe. I was in a trance. And I seen a big spoon. I had to go upstairs for that one. Oh, what's going on? The spoon was so big, and I couldn't realize I had a mouth that big. to receive that spoon. But guess what it was? I had to go upstairs. I wanted to know bad about that one. It was a spoonful of words of God. That's what it was. The word of God. Feed me. Feed me. He still feed me. I love the word. I love Christ. But as I remember, as it flashed back, with all these prisoners in a dome, it was a trance. I know it was a trance. And one brother was part of that trance. God gave me, the Spirit of God gave me Psalms 23. Three times a day. I don't care, as long as I say it three times a day. And I'm still on songs three times a day. But that is like a rude awakening, but I remember it, and it's still in my heart. And me and my son, praise and worship is just, it's in me. God say, if he had a rocks crowd, I'm part of the rock. I'm part of the rock, amen? I'm part of the rock. My son and them used to make, they used to make jokes at me. And they'll see me, him and his uncle. Here come the tears, here come the tears. Praise God, it was true. And a lot of people out was telling me, man, y'all cut that bullshit out, cut that bullshit. So I took it. I said, all right, I'm going to church. I ain't going to say nothing. Holy Spirit flipped me that day, folks. And I've been flipped ever since. But one thing, it's all right with you, Pastor, on use your book. I want to share a scripture. I want to share the scripture with all one of the sound of my voice. And I thank God I can say person. I'm delivered from people. That was part, that's helped me, still helped me to be delivered from people. And in my walk, you can say anything about me. You talked about Jesus. So I ain't no different, I ain't no better. But I want to share this scripture. It's in Philippians. And carry me, Lord, that was. Bear with me, please. Philippians, the 4th chapter, the 11th verse. What is okay? Let me start at 10 so I can come on down. Is this okay, Pastor? Philippians, the 4th chapter. See, I rejoice greatly in the Lord, as you all know. That at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had nothing opportunities to show it. See, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned, amen, praise God. See, I have learned, hallelujah. I have learned to be content with it or without it, whatever circumstances. See, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty of. I have learned, hallelujah. See, I have learned the secret of being content through Christ Jesus. See, I have learned that. Took me a while. The more I cry out, the more strength he gives me. I'm going to just leave it all with that one. But that 11th verse, it taught me and it's still teaching me. I'm holding on to that. Mouth talking, I'm not worried today, amen. I'm not worried. Because I got Christ Jesus. We all have. We're grafting to it. His word. Because his word is true. Thank you. Just want to share and be obedient to the man of God, as he said, 5-10 minutes. But you know, we can go longer and longer. But that's the key. That's what helped me. And that's what in my walk. Just serve. Be a servant. One call, that's all. And that's Christ Jesus. Thank you for sharing. Let me share.
God bless you, Charles. Thank you, man. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Charles. You know, when I hear stories like that, I grew up not too far from the Desire Projects. In fact, a lot of my family members live there. But when you were there, it was a little different. But God sends people to the right place for a little boy to hear the truth. And still having an impact on your life today. See, God was in the rescuing business. He was looking for somebody to rescue. And he went and he found you. And like many of us, we stumble and fall. Stinking thinking sometimes, I could say, you know. Yeah, but God is faithful and he remains faithful to us. And that faithfulness has brought Charles to where he is today. And I do appreciate your testimony and telling your story for us today. One thing I like about testimonies, you'll never think of this man the same way again, because now you know. And each one of us, we learn things, and now we know. Now, each one of you has had an opportunity to share. So what I want to do now is just continue on with what Charles said and discuss about God putting himself in a position of needing to be rescued. It's hard for us to comprehend that thought, but that God put himself in a position where he needed to be rescued, and he did it so that he could rescue you. The first thing is that God became sinful flesh in order to rescue you. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Actually, I want to talk about verse 3, but I just couldn't pass up the first two because I just love them. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. That's what Jesus came to do. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh. By his power, he left his invincibility as God to become vulnerable as a man. I don't think this side of heaven that we will comprehend that in its totality. But how the God who spoke in creation came into being, the one who breathed life into man, the one who hung the stars in place, the one who, with all of our technology today, we can't begin to comprehend the universe. That God, that one who spoke those things into being, that God became vulnerable and lived here as a man. That's the story. what God did in Christ had a profound purpose. I want you to know that God didn't come here in the form of a man to do miracles. That wasn't his purpose. But he did. Somebody said one time, God just likes to show off, show you what he can do. If you're blind, he can make you see. If you're deaf, he can make you hear. If you're sick, he can raise you up. If he's crippled, he give you strength. If you're dead, he can raise you up. But he didn't come here to do that. He just did that. He was just going along. You know, our lives ought to be led the same way. We ought to do miraculous things just as we're going along. That's not our purpose for being here in totality, but it is one of the things that can happen. He can feed people. He can take care of people. He can do a lot of things, but that wasn't his purpose. He was not here to learn what humanity was like. He didn't become an ant in order to find out what ants are like. That wasn't his purpose at all. Although he did, and although he learned. And the scripture says that we have a high priest that in all ways is tested and tried and lived just like us, so that he understands. But he didn't come to do that. That wasn't his purpose at all. He came here for one purpose, and this was the purpose. The purpose was to deal with your plight. And your plight is that you were consumed and condemned by sin. That's the only reason that Jesus came to earth. It's the only reason that God emptied himself of his divine nature, his divine form, to come here and live among us. It's the only reason that Jesus went to Calvary's tree. It's the only reason that he suffered and died was in order to rescue you. That's the only purpose. We make a lot of theological discussions and Bible studies and sermons and write books and all of these things that theologians do, but they miss many times the one reason that he came, and that was to save your very soul. It was to find Charles in the Desire Project. It was to find you wherever you were in your life. It was to give Becky a shoebox full of tapes that could change your life. That's why God came. He came to rescue you. Why did he leave heaven? Because you were so precious. For God so loved you. The day that I discovered that, when James Walter Hickman showed me John 3:16, I had never heard it before, never read it before. And what he did, he changed it when he read it. He didn't say, for God so loved the world. He said, for God so loved, and he said, what's your name? I said, Morris. He said, for God so loved Morris that he gave his only begotten son, that if Morris would believe in him, he would not perish but have everlasting life. Beloved, God is interested in people. He cares about individuals. It doesn't matter whether you're in a project or in a palace. It doesn't matter whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're educated or uneducated. God sent his son with the express purpose of finding you and saving you. Sin has brought death unto every man who's ever lived, including Jesus Christ himself. Every human ever who's ever been on this planet or who will ever be on this planet will taste death. I was talking to someone at a funeral yesterday, and at funerals, you know, death becomes a common subject. And I said, you know, in the book of Revelation, it says that the last thing that's going to happen is that death and hell are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. And I said, I want to be there. I want to see it happen. Because I want to see death suffer in a greater way than he's made you and me suffer. We've all been touched by it. I remember the first time I was aware as a little boy of death was when my uncle died. And I loved my uncle. His name was Carlo. I loved my uncle Carlo. And I remember standing in front of a funeral parlor down in New Orleans as a little boy and looking at my uncle in that coffin, and I just began to cry and weep and lament. I didn't understand it. I was just a little boy. And my daddy took me outside, and I remember standing on the little porch at the funeral parlor, and I just couldn't be consoled. And my dad tried to help me understand about death. And he helped me understand death by telling me that life goes on. He said, "Son, life goes on." He said, "We lost Uncle Carlo, but life goes on. And we've all been touched. I've been slammed by death many times. Sometimes I expected it. Sometimes I didn't expect it. And I've stood by many a family who wept of someone that they love who was touched by death. Jesus came to end that malady. He came to take away the sting of death. In fact, Paul wrote in Ephesians, he said, "Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory?" And he said that the victory is in Jesus Christ, who took us while we were still dead in our trespasses and sin and made us alive in Christ Jesus. That's what Jesus came to do. And on that great day in the future, when death and hell are thrown into the grave, I want to stand there and cheer, and I want to throw gas on the fire to make it hotter for all the damage that death has done to us. And we all face it, and we're all going to face it. But we don't face death as believers the way unbelievers face it, because in Christ we have the victory over death, hell, and the grave. And because he faced death, because he tasted death, because he became victorious over death, hell, and the grave, so we have victory over death, hell, and the grave. So that we mourn, we do not mourn as those who have no hope, for our hope is tied up in Jesus. Amen. And that's why he left heaven, and that's why he came here. The moment that God became a man, he was destined to die. People postulate and talk about, well, he didn't have to die. Let me tell you what. The instant that God became flesh in the womb of Mary, he was destined to die. And he said, "No man takes my life from me, but I give it willingly." You see, death will take your physical life. Jesus gave his physical life. And he did it just for you. That's why he came, so that you could have life. That's the only purpose. Had Jesus escaped death, he said, if Jesus could have come off the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels, he could have done all those things, but he didn't do it. Had he done it, you would spend eternity in hell because of the sin that would have never been resolved and because of the death they could have never been cured. You need to be thankful every day that Jesus didn't do what he could have done. But the fact is that he couldn't do it, because he made up his mind long ago in eternity, before the earth was formed, he decided that he would do for you what you couldn't do for yourself. You see, you couldn't save yourself. You couldn't do it yourself. You don't have the power over sin, and you don't have the power over death, and you don't have the power over the grave. Only God has that power. And he gave it to you in his Son, Jesus Christ. For God so loved you that he gave his Son for you. Don? Brother Don? Just throw the sign away. All right? We get another disc. If you need to. They're telling me that I only got 10 minutes. I got more than 10 minutes to tell you about, all right? So we're not going to worry about that. And I don't want them worrying, because they keep showing me signs to try to tell me to move on. I'm not moving on. Because if ever I preach a sermon you need to hear this one. And the reason you need to hear it, because I believe many of us don't understand it. We haven't grasped what was done for us. We're like an ant thinking he can do something about his anthood. It's like you could do something about where we are. You could not do it, and you cannot do it. You don't have the power to do it. If you had the power to do it, you would have done it, and you couldn't do it. I got 3 points, and this is only number two. Blame Charles. He took all my time. Blame Rose. She took all my time. God suffered his sinful flesh to rescue you. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Everybody ought to be standing up, grabbing the chandeliers, running around the building. Shout amen!
Amen.
People ask me all the time, how you doing? I say, I'm doing good. I said, no, I'm not doing good, but I am righteous. I've tried doing good and I couldn't do it, but I am righteous. I feel like Jeremiah felt when he said he had this thing that burned in his belly. And someday, somehow, I'm going to convince people to understand what I know. And I know it because the Holy Spirit revealed it to me, that you are righteous as God himself is because of what God gave to you. You know, we run around and we do stuff and we sin and we all sin, we all mess up, and well, I'll just confess my sins and God will forgive me. No, he won't. God won't forgive one sin that you confess just because you confessed it. God forgave all sin when his Son became sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, well, now, Morris, are you telling me that I'm as good as God? No, I'm not telling you you're as good as God. I'm telling you you're just like God in Christ Jesus. When you're born again, and you have the newness of life, you have something that you couldn't earn, you couldn't create, you couldn't do right. If it could have been done, we'd have done it in the law. And it says that the law couldn't do it. I read it to you in Romans. What the law couldn't do in that it was weak in sinful flesh. God did by sending his Son so that you could have righteousness. Stop condemning yourself. Stop considering yourself, I'm just a worm. I'm just not anybody. I got to depend on myself. I got to depend on my activities, on my mind, on my faith, on all the things you got to depend on. When you receive Christ into your life, it is a done deal. It is completed as far as he's concerned. In Ephesians, he says, we are seated with him in the heavenly realms right now. Don't be looking for something else to happen. There's no other way to get there. There's no other direction. There's no other way. It's done by what he did, not what you've done. The only thing that you need to do so that the might becomes reality is you've got to say this, Lord Jesus, I believe in what you did for me, and I receive your righteousness. And when you do that, you receive the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Whatever Jesus has got, you got. Whatever he's like, that's what you're like. Why do we worry and fret? Why do we beat ourselves into the ground? Why do we face death afraid? Listen, I'm not afraid to die. I heard somebody say the other day, they're not afraid to die, they just don't want to be there when it happens. Well, I understand that. I understand that. But I'm telling you, death has no victory over you. If it was, the only way you can die as a believer is that Christ Jesus will have to die again. And I'm telling you what, he only died once for all men, for all sin, that you might have the righteousness of God. Put that scripture in your mind. Ponder it. Go study it out. Look at it. Look it up in the Greek. Look it up in 100 different translations, and it'll say the same thing, that we might not receive righteousness, but that we might become righteousness. Woo! I'm telling you, that's good stuff. That you are the righteousness of God. Why do we fight each other Why do we get in these petty fights in churches? And why do we say, well, I don't like him, or I don't like her, or I don't like what they did? And what? You are talking about the righteousness of God when you talk about a brother or sister in Christ. You're condemning righteousness by the words we say against one another. Oh, man, I didn't say nothing yet that I want to say. Let me tell you what, the crucifixion was nothing to Jesus like becoming sin was to him. That was the pain to become sin. He who knew no sin became sin. It didn't say that he who knew no sin sinned. It said he who knew no sin became sin. That's a much bigger story than we think about sometimes. See, man has carried the burden of sin. We've all been touched by sin. Paul wrote, he said, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned in one way, shape, form, or another. We've carried the burden of sin and its repercussions. Sin brought sickness into the world. You want to know why you're sick? Because sin came into the world. That's what besets us. That's why you get old. That's why you get weak. Because of sin that came into the world. Sin brought emotional distress. You want to know why you're depressed? You know why you can't cope with life? You want to know why you're popping pills in order to go on? It's because of sin that came into the world. That's what it's done to you. And we believe the lie of the world. We believe that, well, we just can never cope with life, and we just can't get along. I'm telling you, we can't cope with life because we don't believe in Jesus Christ. The way we need to understand who you are in Christ Jesus. If you ever understood that, and if you ever believed that, you wouldn't have to worry about life that you worry about life in the way you worry all the time. Whether you're going to have enough. That's the scripture you read, Charles. Paul said, I've learned. It doesn't matter. I'm rich, I'm poor. It doesn't matter what circumstance I am in life. I've learned to worship God and trust God. Sin brought death. You're going to die because of sin. It came into the world. When sin came into the world, its conjoined twin came in with it, the scripture says. When sin came into the world, death came into the world. Sin brought separation from God. We were separated from God. There was a giant chasm that separated us from God. The story of in the book of Genesis about when Adam and sin, and I'm going to talk about that next week, when that chasm was created, it separated us from God. And there's only one. You can't get back to God on your knees. You can't get back to God crying. You can't get back to God to go on a confession. There's only one way to get to God, and that's by faith in what Jesus did. You've got to believe it. You don't have to understand it. You just have to believe it. God reverse engineered himself for you. He took his deity and put it aside. He emptied himself. He got rid of it. He humbled himself and he became a man just for you. His righteousness became man and became sin. He who had no sin became sin. By becoming sin, he made you righteous. Well, why would he do that? Why would he even bother? Why didn't he just kind of, he had the flood once, why did he have another flood? Why did he just stop thinking about us and we'd all disappear? He did it that we might share in his righteousness. James Barron was here. Many of you know James was here. And he said, the one thing that God wants is to be with you. He wants to be with you. He said it on the cross. He told it to the priest, to the thief. Not the priest, the thief. He said it to the priest too. He said, this day you will be what? With me. With me. That's what God's wanted all along. From the garden to today, the one thing that God wants is to be with you. And that's his plan. And as a believer, you're with him right now, and you will be with him for all eternity. His suffering bore our sicknesses. Isaiah said, surely he took up our pain. It's our physical and mental pain. And he bore our sufferings. He bore the separation from God. He cried out, my God, my, why have you forsaken me? And because he felt that, you don't have to feel it. You never have to wake up in the morning and say, where was God? God, where are you? And he would say, right here. I'm right here. Right where I'll always be inside of you. He bore death and breathed his last and gave up his spirit, as our sign says right here. It is finished just for you. God raised sinful flesh to rescue you. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 17 through 20, and then in chapter 12, verse 2. There, that's yours, your sins and lawless deeds, I will remember no more. You ever heard Joseph Prince say that? No more. I love that accent he's got. No more. I will remember it no more. For, and where these have been forgiven, where have they been forgiven? You see that thing up there called a cross? Beloved, we don't have a sin problem anymore. Sin's been dealt with. What we have is a belief problem. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, what if I believe and then I sin? That's why he went to Calvary's tree for you, to take care of it. He knew we were a bunch of stumble bums and would mess up, and you know, one time after another. Where these had been forgiven, look, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. You can't pray enough prayers. You can't go to enough confessions. You can't be shed enough tears. You can't wear out your knees long enough. You can't beat your head against a post long enough, hard enough. You can't do anything enough. And it's foolishness, because sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Well, I'm going to do this for the Lord. Well, you know, you're not going to do anything for the Lord. He's interested in doing it for you. Therefore, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have, do we have this confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way? You remember the holy place? Remember the temple? Only the high priest could go in there once a year, and he had to go. He had to purify himself. He had to make sure he was in right standing with God. If he wasn't perfect, so he thought, when he went in, he'd die inside of that holy of holies. And then nobody could go get him. It's been said, I don't know if it's true or not, it doesn't say it in the scriptures, that they'd tie a little rope around the high priest's leg in case he died. They'd drag him out and nobody go in there. No? I mean, talking serious business. Nobody could go into the Holy of Holies. But look at this. He says that we can enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. In other words, his sacrifice, by a new and living way. What's the living way? You've been made alive in Christ Jesus. You have the righteousness of God. You can go into the most holy place. And he goes on to say, for this way was opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. There was a curtain, a thick curtain. It was a very thick, high curtain that you had to go through to get into the Holy of Holies. He said that the flesh of Jesus is the curtain. Remember when Jesus died? It says that the curtain was torn in two. It was torn from the top down. God did it. That is the flesh of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the entranceway. Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the door. And no one, the only way to get in to the most holy place is to go through the door. and the curtain, and it's the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed, his body. Down in chapter 12, verse 2, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So what's that joy? What is the joy set before him? The joy is you. Seeing you get saved. Seeing you transform. Seeing sin removed from you. Seeing you become the righteousness of God. Seeing you in the very image of God. The DNA of God. Saved for all eternity. Being with him for all eternity. That's the joy that let him do what he did. That was what it's all about. That's what Christianity is all about. It's not about church and music and songs. We do all those things, but it's only one thing. It's your redemption. You being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Beloved, I'm not making this stuff up. This isn't the theology of Morris. This is the scriptures. I'm just telling you what it says. I'm just reading it. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And in Ephesians, what did Paul say? I said it earlier. We are seated with him in the heavenly places. As he is, so am I in this world. We're already there. It's done as far as God is concerned. One day when this finally dawns on your little brain and you understand what I'm talking about, maybe it won't happen until you get to heaven, you're going to say, doggone, Morris was right. No, I'm not right. The scriptures are right. It's the word of God that's right. God says to all believers, their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. I had a young man, a youth pastor at a church I attended, and he said, God put all of our sins in the sea of forgetfulness, and he put a sign out that says, no fishing. No fishing. Don't go back worrying about what you did. And Jesus went to the cross because of what you did. All of your sins. He came to forgive all of our sins, past, present, and future. You say, oh, Brother Morris, are you saying I can do anything I want to do? You can do anything you want to do. But I tell you what, there's a consequence right here in this planet. You go out here and kill somebody, you're going to jail. You may go to the electric chair or whatever they do to you these days, inject you with some. I'm sure all of you saw that video of that police officer who killed that innocent young man in the trial, and she was convicted of the murder, which she did, and how the victim's brother embraced her. That's a picture of God. Yeah, you're going to suffer some consequences. If you drink alcohol to the point where you're an alcoholic, you're probably going to die from it. You smoke enough cigarettes, you're probably going to die from it. It doesn't mean that it's a sin that you can't be forgiven from, because you were forgiven at Calvary Street. I mean, we can do stuff in the flesh that'll get us in trouble. But that is a picture of when that young man said, my brother would want you to know that the best thing you could ever do is to turn your life over to Jesus Christ. And then he asked the judge, he said, can I give her a hug? That's a picture of Christ reaching out to you, guilty of sin. And he wants to come to where you are and embrace you. The other day, there were over 7 million hits on that video, people who saw it. You know why? I'm going to tell you why. In fact, I wrote a newspaper article about it. You'll see it in the paper this week. You know why? Because people want to know that there's hope. They want to know that there's hope. Because if that cop who murdered that black young man could be forgiven by his brother and embraced by her, and the judge come down off the bench and put her arms around that murderer and give her a Bible, you know what that says? There's hope for me. There's hope for me. That's the message to the world. That's the message we ought to be proclaiming, that there's hope for you. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, where you are today. There's hope for everyone who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God closed the book on sin. Just like this old Bible. I'll just close it. It's over. Forget about the law. He said, those who are in Christ Jesus are not under the law. Did he really say that? Yeah, the Bible really says that. I'm not going to teach that whole lesson here today. The reason we're not under the law, the Lord condemns us. Let me go back to the scripture I just read to you, Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is the Ten Commandments. You sin, they kill you. You get caught in adultery, you get killed. Remember the woman brought to Jesus? She was caught. He said, the law says she's to be stoned. What do you have to say? Jesus didn't say a thing, just wrote some stuff on the ground. And everybody walked away. And you know the story. And he said, where are those who condemn you? And she said, there's none, Lord. And he said, neither do I. Go and don't do that no more. Go and don't sin anymore. God gave us access to eternal life by a new and living way, through the curtain to the Holy of Holies, through what Jesus has done. Jesus left heaven, suffered here, went into Sheol, place of hell, to announce to those who believed before the cross that the day of their redemption had taken place. And then, life entered that dead body in that grave. And when he rose up, he wasn't the same old Jesus he had been before. He had a new form. It's a new body. A resurrected body. A body that could do things that you can't imagine. And he was no longer under the condemnation of the sin of Adam, but he was free from all that. He had finished it off, and he rose triumphant from the grave. And because he lives, as that old song says, we live. Because he lives, we live. It's about what he's done, beloved. It's not about what you do. You cannot do it on your own. You can't even do it with my help. I can't fix you if you're broke. If you're an unbeliever, I can't fix you. Jesus has provided the way for you to be permanently fixed. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I love the way Paul put it in Corinthians. He said that old things, that sin, death, and hell pass away. All things, that's the righteousness of God, that's life, that's eternity, become new in Christ Jesus. The old is gone. The new is here. Praise be to God. That's what Jesus did. And he did it all to do one thing, to rescue you. Isn't that good news? Isn't that the best news you ever heard? Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. I got one more slide to show you and then I'm done. Get past there. I'm past there. Get past there. I'm past there. Here it is. Ephesians 2:4-6. But because of his great love for you, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that we have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Shout amen and stand up. That's all I got to say. Woo! Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Father, I pray that somehow, some way, in my meager attempts to describe the undescribable, that some way this message will pierce our hearts and that we'll understand who we are in Christ Jesus and that we will live a rejoicing life free from condemnation, self-condemnation, freed from all the burdens of the world, and that we might live as Jesus lives, filled with joy, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We thank you, Father. We praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. And all the children said, amen. Amen.